Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Entertainment Now podcast. My name is Nick.
And I'm another Ian.
You are another bitch.
Okay.
What's up? I was going to say, Ian's sitting across from me, so we are recording in person, so we won't have the video up on YouTube, but we will have audio only. I think I'm actually an episode or two behind. I got to put the audio or the videos up on there. But
it's been kind of a consistent thing. Two videos of the month are going to be video, and two videos are going to be audio only. Yeah.
But so what's been going on, Ian?
Nothing. I forgot to mention a show that I'm looking forward to in our last episode.
What might that be?
It's The House of Usher. By Mike Flanagan. It's a limited series.
House Usher, like the singer Usher?
No, like as in like Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh.
Follow the House of Usher. Mike Flanagan did Haunting of Hill House. He did The Haunting of Bly House. He did Midnight Mass. He did Midnight Club. These are all been limited series for Netflix. He also wrote and directed the sequel to The Shining, Dr. Sleep.
Okay.
Which is fantastic.
Which I still have not watched.
You need to watch the director's cut. Do not watch theatrical cut.
No.
Because the director's cut, I mean, don't get me wrong, the theatrical cut's good, but the director's cut's just way better.
I don't know why. I think I have a digital copy of it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I watched it.
If you watch the director's cut, it is almost 3 hours, so it's, you know, it's hard to squeeze that in.
Which I watched Lord of the Rings, and those movies are like 18 and a half hours long, so
yeah.
Time
18
is...
18 hours of walking.
It's a really long walk.
Long walk, yeah. But yeah, I'm super excited because Mike Flanagan, everything he's done so far has been very good. He did the movie Hush, which is kind of it's just really well done. It's a suspense thriller, semi-slasher. It's really good. I think anything Mike Flanagan does is going to be a huge recommendation for me.
Okay.
So I'm super excited for that. That starts in October for Netflix.
Okay. See, look at that. For once, I asked you what was going on, and you actually had something to talk about, Ian.
Well, you know...
It's like a Christmas fucking miracle. Little Timmy can walk.
Little Ian has something to say.
Yeah. So I know that you've been watching Game of Thrones, like...
Sporadically
for the last, like, 5 years.
I've been stuck in season 6 for, like, 3 months now.
I've been wanting to watch it lately.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished watching, God, what was the show I was watching? The New Girl or New Girl?
Yeah, which I enjoyed that show.
Yeah, it was good. Like, the last couple of seasons were kind of weird. Yeah. But I think the show definitely ran its course by the time season 7 ended.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was an enjoyable show. Yeah. It's probably not something I'll probably rewatch again.
It's one I've watched all the way through, and I think I probably am due for a rewatch. But I don't know if it'll have the same staying power as like a Friends does.
Yeah.
Because Friends, you know, that's a rewatch once a year.
Yeah. It's been probably a year or two since I watched Friends, but I've been trying not to watch Friends.
Right. Trying to experience new things.
I've been trying to watch something else. Yeah. But I've been watching a lot of clips from Game of Thrones lately.
Mm-hmm. And they keep showing up in my Instagram feed and my TikTok feed, yeah.
And there was one night I spent, I don't know how long it was. It was a while, probably a good couple hours, just like looking up death scenes from Game of Thrones.
Some of them were quite fun to watch.
Some of them were pretty good. I love watching Joffrey's death.
I think he still got off easy, but it's fun to watch.
It just pisses me off the way that he was like fucking with Tyrion before he died.
Right. And it was almost like if you were going to frame somebody, you did it perfectly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because he's like, you know, knocking his cup out of Tyrion's hand and, like, making Tyrion pick it up and, like, kicking it away. Like, he was being a fucking twat. Fucking twat. And he...
Well, he was a twat the whole show.
He absolutely fucking deserved to die.
Oh, yeah. I just kind of wanted him to, like... what was the one guy's name, the prince who got killed by the mountain, where his, like, head was crushed?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wanted to happen to Joffrey.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see someone squeeze your head till it explodes.
Yeah, there, I mean, you're in season 6, right?
6, yeah.
So you've got some good deaths coming.
There's one I see because I've seen these clips. One's been ruined.
What?
That I was looking forward to. What's his name? The shitty guy that I don't like.
What shitty guy that you don't like?
The guy who was he's like Jon Snow's big enemy before the White Walkers. He's got to fight this guy for control of the North.
Oh, God, why am I drawing a blank on his name?
I know, it's like right on the tip of my tongue. Starts with a B. It's not Baratheon, is it?
No, it's not. It's,
No, because that's Robert. Man, I can't remember his fucking name. Anyway, he's the guy, he was married to Sansa and did unspeakable things. His death is ruined.
Ramsay Bolton. Yeah. God, Ramsay
Bolton is what I was trying to come
like over. Scroll down. I was like, because I knew exactly who the fuck you're talking
his
about.
His death is ruined for me, but I think there's a certain sweetness to it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know. He's the kind of guy you almost want to see die like 15 times.
Yeah.
His character, just because his character's worse than Joffrey.
No, it is. I would argue that Ramsay is probably the worst person ever on TV.
Well, I can think of a few people who've been on TV that are worse than him.
Who?
Well, I mean, Hitler's been on TV.
Oh, okay. Okay.
As far as fictional characters, that's... Although, I mean, Tarkin in Star Wars blew up an entire planet and killed probably, a billion people in one shot.
Yeah, but, it was just the cruelty.
Oh yeah,
of Ramsay and how much
relish with which he did it,
enjoyed it. Like, where are you at in season 6? Did you already get to the point where they're married? Him
and Sansa.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And he like she's rapes gone. Her she, and all this stuff.
Yeah,
like,
she's
fucking horrible.
She's already been taken away. She got away from him. Okay, she's. Okay. I'm right at the point where she's back at. I want to say she's back in Winterfell. And I think Jon Snow and her are back, reunited.
Okay.
I haven't, again, I've seen clips, but I haven't seen Arya back there yet, but I've seen clips.
Yeah.
So.
Her return to Winterfell is pretty good. But.
Yeah, I've seen it. Even though I haven't seen the episode, I've seen it. I need to stop watching those clips because they keep ruining everything.
How about you just watch the fucking show?
Because
the fucking show,
shows.
The show ended a fucking decade ago.
No, what? It hasn't been that long, has it?
Pretty damn close.
Yeah, well.
Pretty damn close.
So, finally, they're starting to show clips of House of the Dragon, so that's been ruined before I've even started watching that.
House of the Dragon's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, season one was good.
Season one was good.
I mean,
it was a little weird at times, and I wasn't a huge fan of the time jump, but I'm really looking forward to
that
season two.
Yeah, that was confusing to me, too, even though I haven't watched it, but I'm seeing it in the clips, because you see the king is young, and then you see him as, this wrinkly old guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell's going on with that?
Yeah, it jumps, 15 years.
I wasn't sure if they were just showing flashbacks or something, but it's a time jump.
And they use a completely, because Millie Alcock plays the young, whatever her name is, the main character, and then it's a completely different actress that plays her older.
Which is good, because it's hard to age people.
I didn't think it was necessary to jump ahead at all. Anyway,
no, I mean.
So, I felt like there was enough there.
So was it half the season is in one age and half the season in the end? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's okay. At least there's a linear element.
But it feels like especially, and I don't want to pick on the two actresses, but I feel like there's not, they seemed like two, the way they play them are two different characters, it seems like. And I guess people grow,
change,
and I get that. People change. Yeah. So it makes sense. I wasn't.
Especially in Game of Thrones, because, I mean, even when you're dealing with the same actor and actress, I mean, Sansa is not the same character in season 6 as she is in season 1.
Correct.
Character wise, I mean, of course, the actress has aged, but they are two completely different characters.
Yeah. I'm trying to see.
And that's just a few years. So.
Trying to see when, because I want to talk about a death, but I'm trying to see if you've gotten to that point yet. I'm trying to see what season.
I've seen a lot of the deaths. I mean, like I said, I've seen a lot of clips, so there really isn't much you can ruin for me, unfortunately.
So, Littlefinger,
I don't know. I don't remember how he dies. I don't remember if I saw how he dies, but I saw what Sansa and Arya did. How they called him out.
Yeah, that's a great scene there. Also, mm-hmm. But. Okay, I don't want to go on too long.
I know he was setting up like.
Oh yeah, he was completely
conflict between.
He
the
was
two
definitely
of them.
Trying to set them up to against each other.
Yeah,
and they completely fucking called him out, and then they
arrested him. I saw him getting arrested. Yeah,
he didn't get arrested, but.
Taken into custody to be executed, right? I'm assuming
he's not even taken into custody. He's like, because it's Arya.
Oh. She kills him?
No. Like, the whole scene is set up like they are going to try Arya for murder.
Right, yeah, I've seen that part.
And then, yeah.
And then they're like,
and then she calls
Lord Baelish, you're under arrest. Yeah, or, well, they or tried said, your,
how do you,
yeah, how do you plead, how do you treason plead, yeah, or whatever. So,
so me. he's never taken his in a custody. He's like standing in the middle, and then like he thinks, because he's got the veil, the right. Knights of the Veil there, so they think he thinks they're gonna save him.
Yeah, they don't. And they don't. I know. I
and they don't because they push.
I just don't remember how he dies.
Well, I don't want to tell you that, but because he was married to Sansa's aunt,
right?
And then he pushed her through the moon door.
I saw that. Yeah,
but no one else knew that. But you know, obviously they figure it all out,
right?
And call him out for it. But so that's why the Knights of the Vale aren't going to save him, because he fucking killed her.
Yeah. And what's funny though is that it's like through the whole thing, he doesn't really hide the fact that he's playing everybody.
The entire series is his fault. He was the reason that Ned Stark was fucking murdered.
Right.
Like,
but, and it's funny because they set him up like he did it because he was in love with, what's her name? The Stark's wife. I can't remember her name now.
Yeah.
Catherine, I think was her name. But yeah, they're always like, there was always a hint that he had like somewhat good motives. Maybe not good, but at least like, human
no,
motives,
no.
But it was all that just everything was just a game to him. It's like I don't even think he gave a shit how it worked out. He just was playing the fucking game.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sad when he died.
He's somebody that came from nothing and was able to work his way into a position of power.
Right.
And then he.
But he could have kept that position of power and lived if he would have played the game.
You could say that for anybody in that fucking series.
Yeah, but he just. I think he played everybody so much that his death was guaranteed, whereas it wouldn't have been if he was, you know, if he had done some of that stuff, like if he had basically married Sansa off to Ramsay.
Oh, by the way, I was wrong. It's Caitlin.
Caitlin. Okay.
Yeah, Caitlin Stark.
If he had good intentions, he would never have married her off to Ramsay.
Yeah.
But he rescued her from. He helped get her out of. King's Landing,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good thing, because she would have ended up dying anyway, because Cersei definitely didn't give a shit about
her.
No,
absolutely not. Actually, had it not been for, I don't remember the guy's role, but, like, as Joffrey is dying, I didn't mean for this to turn into a Game of Thrones episode, but as Joffrey is dying, somebody comes up to Sansa, and they're like, leave now. You have to leave right now.
And, it was the bald guy. Wasn't it?
He was like the no. It was like the drunk that they had saved. They were gonna. I think they were gonna execute. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've watched season one.
Yeah.
Or that was season two. That was season two.
Season three, because it was after the Red Wedding.
You're right.
I never understood the big. Everyone talked about the Red Wedding like it was
because when it happened, no one was fucking expecting it.
I wasn't expecting it because
since
was like,
then it's been talked about to death.
Right.
So
when it happened, everyone was talking about it, like, and I wasn't expecting, but I was expecting like this thing, this big massive thing.
Yeah.
And when it happened, I was like, wait a minute, was that the Red Wedding?
Yeah, where everyone was murdered.
Yeah, but even after it was done, I was like, really? That's what everyone was all excited about? It just didn't.
But as far as like people, if they were just like settled into a role, it would have been completely different.
Yeah.
You can definitely say the same thing for Cersei. Like,
yeah, I mean, she could have been fine
at multiple points. Like even in the last season, she's given an opportunity.
I think I've seen clips,
and you know it would have, drastically changed the end of the show. But I don't want to spoil it
for you. Well, I mean, like I said, I know how all these people die, and unfortunately, some deaths I'm not terribly looking forward to.
Yeah.
One specifically.
Which one?
What's her name? Blonde.
Which blonde?
The main blonde, Daenerys.
Oh, Dany?
Yeah. Because that doesn't make sense to me.
It does when you watch it.
I know, but she goes the whole series as, like... You're rooting for her through the whole fucking series.
Yeah.
But then she goes mad in the last season and has to be killed by Jon Snow? It doesn't make sense.
Just watch the series.
Yeah, I will.
That's one of the big criticisms that people had, but I felt like that was the only fucking way it could happen.
Mm.
Well, that was the only fucking one.
Let me watch it and I'll tell you.
And there was like, and people were going on about how they wanted the series to have this like big happy ending where she would become this great ruler and like everyone would live in harmony. And like throughout the entire series, you know, knowing, you know, the history behind her family, the Targaryens, it was never going to fucking end that way.
Yeah.
It was never going to, like, hell, she was sold by her brother to fucking barbarians.
Right.
In the first
episode. That's one of my favorite deaths, actually.
Yeah.
Because he's such a cock at that scene. I mean, when he's just like, it's like Karen, a Karen moment. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, it's just, that scene is wonderful. Because it doesn't stretch out. No. It's like, he's acting like a dick and he fucking dies right now.
He got his crown.
Yes, he got his crown. I love that scene. That goes all the way back to the first season.
Yeah, that was the very first season. Viserys.
Viserys,
was her brother. But yeah, it's, yeah, you got to finish watching the show. It makes me want to watch it.
More.
But a lot of people were upset about the whole three-eyed raven aspect of it also. How
I don't know much about that yet. Like, I mean, I know Bran is... whatever.
Well, you saw the tree thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Where the Hodor's death has got to be one of the fucking saddest parts of that entire fucking series.
Right. Well, because he was an innocent. He was truly an innocent.
Well, yeah, and you realize
more innocent than we
find out, and you find out where his fucking name comes from, right. And like, yeah,
and why he's like he is.
Yeah,
it's a very cyclical
storyline.
It's, you know, it starts badly, ends badly.
Yeah, but. I don't remember where I was going with that, but yeah, I don't know. It definitely makes me want to watch it. It's such a great fucking series. Mm. And, you know, it's, I still don't like the way the series ended. I think it would have ended if it would have been better had they done a couple of things differently.
Mm-hmm.
I still enjoy the final season though. I know lots of people out there absolutely shit on the final season or two, but, you know,
mainly the last, I mean, that's
the last season. And once you watch it, I guess I can probably go into more detail about it, but I think it's okay the way it goes. I just think they should have like flip flopped a couple of things, you know, and maybe made a better ending, but I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we'll go over it. I'll probably finish it here in the next month or so.
I guarantee I'll probably finish the fucking series a second.
No, because
second time.
I've only got at time of recording. I've only got one more episode of Ahsoka that comes out, and then there's nothing until Loki.
Yeah.
And Loki, I probably wait until like three or four episodes are out so I can binge it anyway.
Yeah.
So I've got some time in between. There's not much going on, so I can.
They're not long. Like what?
They're an hour long.
No. I was gonna say they're not long seasons. They're only 10 episodes.
Oh, 10 episodes. Yeah, and I'm halfway. I think I'm halfway through season 6.
Okay.
So I really only have 2.5 seasons.
So you haven't gotten to the Battle of Bastards, though.
No, it's just about to start.
Okay.
So I think they've had their one, but then again, I could be mistaking it for clips I've seen. But it's coming up. I know it's coming up.
Okay. So you're getting closer to the end of it. But. Yeah. I don't know. Season 7, I think, is where, it got really good in season 7. But like I said, I didn't like the way the season 7 ended.
Right.
And I think there could have been some minor changes to season 8 to make it better. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we'll do a whole Game of Thrones recap episode at some point in the near future.
Once Ian watches it.
Once I finish it.
Once you finish it. Once I finish it for the, I don't know, third probably. I think this will be the third time I've watched it.
See, I have a hard time with. I'm not a sword and sorcery kind of guy anyway, so I'm more of a sci-fi guy. So that's another thing that's been holding me back. But there was some pretty intense shit that I just. When you binge it, it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
You know, when you're watching episode after episode, just cruelty from Ramsay.
Yes.
Ramsay's what hurt the show for me. It's like every episode it's like, oh my god, what more can you do to
this? He is an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah,
absolute. But I don't know, if you're out there, if you haven't watched Game of Thrones,
we probably spoiled half of it for
I highly recommend
watching
the series. There's I know some people don't like all the nudity and all that stuff.
That doesn't bother me. I just don't think it's necessary.
A lot of it is just kind of
gratuitous.
It is unnecessary, but whatever. I don't fucking care.
Yeah, like, I mean,
that's not what we can talk about.
I don't have a problem seeing a pair of tits. I just don't, you know, don't put it in there just to sell the show. It's because that's what I felt it was doing.
But that's not what we came to talk about. Mm-hmm. What did we come to talk about today, Ian?
I don't know. Did we come to talk about something?
The monoculture.
There's a monoculture?
So there's this, so we, you know, we talk music and all that stuff all the time, and we've had this conversation just recently about, I don't remember what the conversation was. It was like, we were talking about, you felt like a lot of people just are disinterested in music.
Well,
like
it's just become so casual for them.
But I think a lot of it kind of, and I saw, and we had a lengthy conversation about it. And then like a couple of days later, I saw this interview where they were going on about the breakdown of the monoculture that we were a part of for a good chunk of our life, you know, from the, you know, early 1900s until probably within the last, I'd say 2010 is really when it, around that time.
So 10 to 15 years.
Yeah. So the last 10 to 15 years, it's drastically broken down. But prior to that, we were all part of this monoculture. We're, regardless of what we, our opinions on things or how we felt about things or what we liked or disliked, we were all kind of spoon-fed the same kind of topics.
Right.
We were all aware of the same thing. Like, it doesn't matter if you hated the fucking Monkees. You knew who the fucking Monkees were.
Right.
You know, it didn't matter.
The band. The Monkees. Yeah.
It didn't matter what you thought of George Bush and the war in Iraq. We were all familiar with it. Right. But over the last 10 to 15 years, we've gotten to this point where we're spoon-fed individual information. Everything is so personalized now.
It's kind of cultured to us individually rather than as a society.
Yes. And that's why and they talked about in the interview that's kind of why they felt the same way you did, where, you know, you're just given individual things that are specifically tailored to you. Mm-hmm. So it kind of has a little more of a disposable feeling to a lot of it.
Because everything else, there's nothing, there's really, for some people, it's just, you know, it's background. It's whatever's just being fed to you, you know, and there's no, because you're not getting anything new or not being exposed to anything new, you're not trying desperately to find new things.
Yeah, you're living within that tailored bubble.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And that's not just music. I mean, movies are like that. Yeah. News is like that. Social media is like that. Everything is tailored to you. And, you know, I definitely, I think we kind of, as people that enjoy physical media, mm-hmm. I think that kind of helps break us out of some of that.
Right. Especially with most studios not knowing where they're going to land on physical media. Disney was all out on physical media, and then all of a sudden they're dropping everything on physical media, which, like, is good. That's good.
Because they're like, oh my God, we need to make money. Yeah. Oh, this makes money.
This makes money. And then, you know, it's essentially the same problem that the record companies had before the vinyl resurgence. They couldn't sell it. They weren't selling CDs. Everything was digital. They weren't making any money. People started buying records. They're like, oh, let's put everything out on record.
Yeah.
You know, on vinyl. So it's, you know, same idea. And it's a good thing. Yes, you're not going to have the same sales you had on, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s because you don't have video stores anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that made up a big chunk of sales right there. But you're still going to make some money back, you know, and there's a market for it. And it's a market that's not going away.
Yeah.
So
it's just interesting because, and the same thing with music, you know, the records, you know, any record store you go into is something that brings that monoculture back. Right. You walk into a record store and they're playing, you don't know what they're playing on their, you know, system in the record store. And, you know, they got all these different records on the wall, people talking about different music, stuff that, you know, your Spotify algorithm isn't going to feed you.
Right.
You know, so you're forced to experience things outside your bubble. And, you know, I think another thing that's kind of fed into a lot of it is cable news. You know, back prior to the late 90s when cable news didn't exist.
It was in its infancy. I mean, it goes back to the late 80s, but it didn't have the same gravitas that it has now. Because nobody watched it. It was like, it was a lost leader for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, CNN was the first, and it was, you know, it was there just strictly as a news, 24-hour news source. That's it. You're going to know what's going on, and that's it.
But prior to that, people got their news from their local news. Now people don't even get that because they don't have cable. You know, a lot of people don't have cable anymore. Now they just stream Netflix or Hulu.
If you've got Hulu TV or YouTube TV, you get your locals.
But that's not, talking about like pure, like just having like a streaming service.
Right. I watch the news every day that I'm home because I that's how I get my weather.
I get my weather through the Weather Channel app.
Yeah. Oh, I still do that too, but I like to watch it.
I turn on like Fox 2 News in the morning.
Yeah, I do.
Not that ABC. I'm ever up in the morning.
I do, but ABC Channel 7 for us.
Yeah. But I don't watch. I was just talking to somebody at work not too long ago, and they're like more of a moderate kind of guy. But he was like, I don't understand why people bash on Fox News all the time. Even if you don't like what they say, you should at least watch it to see like the other side of the argument. And I kind of get that. But
and to be fair, if you do that, you do start. You could potentially start seeing some real journalism starting to like seep in very slowly because they've lost a lot of money from their previous practices. So.
But like I told him though, like I don't watch any of it. I don't watch any. I stopped watching all news channels.
Yeah.
Like anything that's dedicated, like a 24-hour news channel, I will not fucking watch it.
I still do, but I try to blend it up a bit, and I don't watch anywhere near as much as I used to.
Yeah. Cause it's there, you know, for a long time, like you said before, it was there they knew that they weren't going to make money on it.
Right. Now they only try to make money.
Yeah. Now that's all it is. It's just a money making venture. Mm. All they're trying to do is rile people up, regardless of the fucking side of the argument.
Because it sells ad space. Because
that's exactly it. It draws in more eyes and sells ads. Mm-hmm. So that's why I stopped watching it. And you want to know something? I've become a happier fucking person not watching it.
Well, nothing's going to make me a happier person.
I feel like I'm still up to, you know, up to date on with what's going on. I watch my local news. Mm-hmm. You know, I read some news sources.
And I would
online.
Say that I probably watch. Well, I've actually kind of gone back to listening to NPR because of BBC World News.
Yeah.
So I'm getting some of my news from there, and then ABC World News because it's just world news. You know, it's a half hour. You kind of get a chunk of everything going on, in at least mostly in the country, but around the world. And it's quick and it's easy and it's no opinion.
Yeah.
What's going on? So, I mean, I would say I've kind of gone more to that respect. And the BBC World News Service has always had a certain level of respectability. They've made mistakes and they've had their issues and they will continue to have their issues just like everybody else. But I still feel they're a reliable source for information. So, I there's still news sources. I still do watch MSNBC. But it's casual, and it's no, like I said, it's nowhere near what I used to watch it every day, and if there were times I would even record it, or set it up for DVR. I none of that now. Yeah. I can only watch so much of it.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's kind of another thing where I think we're like getting away from local news. Mm. Is another part of where we kind of lose that monoculture when you have, you know, a Fox News that's tailored to one specific part of the country. You've got MSNBC that's tailored to another part. When you've got CNN that's tailored to a different part, and people kind of stay within that little bubble, you lose, like I said before, that monoculture, that thing where we're sitting down and regardless of what we feel about that topic, we're all getting that
same information for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, and it's funny because you say monoculture and in my mind, it just, there's a, almost like a hard stop. It's like, it sounds repressive. It sounds like, you know, monoculture almost seems like
a bad thing.
Yeah, in a sense, but it's not in this aspect because it's not about not experiencing everything. It's about getting a bit of everything rather than only experiencing small doses of things, which is weird because we're talking about things getting bigger and getting less, when if we were to scale things down, we get more.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think it's the same thing as like if you take like a specific news topic, like Hunter Biden's laptop fucking computer. I'm tired of hearing about this stupid thing. But, you know, there's large parts of the Democratic side of the viewership that knows nothing about it because it really hasn't been covered.
Or they only know about it from the perspective that the Republicans are all about it. Yes. There's nothing there. There's no there.
Yes.
Which there isn't, but, you know.
I wouldn't say there isn't. I mean, there is some smoke, but that doesn't necessarily mean
Hunter Biden has broken some laws. And Hunter Biden will suffer the consequences.
He seems like kind of a sketchy kind of fellow.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that his dad had anything to do with it. Or
And they're going to be hard pressed to prove it, even if he did.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is like there are you know losing the monoculture where you had a news source that would just talk about it, mm-hmm. and then kind of move on, and then people would either make their own judgments off of that information that they're given, or they would actually like actively, I don't know, read a fucking newspaper and get some more information on the topic.
To be fair, I haven't read a newspaper in a long time, but I used to read USA Today all the time.
Yeah, I used to read the newspaper all the time.
I loved USA Today, but it's just, I can't even find I'd buy them from the machines.
Yeah.
I don't even know where any of those are anymore.
I mean, the gas station.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't go to the gas station. They're not at the gas station.
Did you say you don't go to the gas station where you get
not
gas
every
from?
Day.
Oh, gotcha.
And the gas station I do go to, my gas station doesn't have those. Doesn't
really?
Yeah, they don't sell newspapers.
Oh, that's weird.
So, I wouldn't even know where to find. And they took all the newspapers out of the hospital because they used to have those machines at in the hospital. They took all those out.
Dude, I've worked there since I started working there. I don't think there's ever been any newspapers.
Oh no, there were. They stopped filling them when COVID hit.
Okay.
Because I used to grab papers occasionally from there, but they haven't been in there since COVID. So I wouldn't even know where to get a newspaper at this point. But I forgot where I was going with that.
I don't know where you're going with it either.
Nobody reads newspapers anymore. Yeah.
Which I guess I can
print media in general is, I mean, it's hard to argue either way whether or not it's a good thing that's gone away or a bad thing that's going away. But it's a bad thing in the sense that because it's going away, you get that more tailored element to it. And, you know, when it's printed on paper, it's permanent. It's there. And you have to make a choice to use it, to go to it. And you're going to get a variety of things. Whereas if it's USA Today online, you're only going to look at the articles that are going to fit your
what's
your
tailored opinion. What the algorithm tells you to pay attention to.
Exactly. So.
But and that's kind of like, as much as people like streaming, and we've all kind of sung the praises at times of streaming, whether it's streaming music or streaming movies, it's all kind of led to this, though.
Unless you're willing to be like me and spend $200 a month on all of the streaming services, so you have all of the options, and you do go through the recommendations, and you do just occasionally just click on the movie button and go A to Z and see what's in there.
Yeah.
But that's me. I'm rare, and I don't have kids to worry about or any of that stuff, so I can spend 2 hours waiting, trying to find something to watch, and maybe actually even watch it.
Yeah.
You know. So.
But I think it's definitely a byproduct of streaming.
Yeah, it's definitely it's created a instant gratification. This is what, you know, you like this, here's another one. Okay, boom, I watch it and you're done. Whereas you're not experiencing. But I thought for a while there I thought that the streaming was moving away from that because the streaming services, specifically like Netflix, they were producing their own original content, and a lot of it was unique, and a lot of it was not revolutionary, but it was different. So it was, you know, potentially exposing people to new and different ideas. But even that started to get a little, narrow.
It's still like, especially with streaming music, I think it still feeds into this whole disposable aspect.
Oh yeah, music for sure. I mean, it's starting to happen with TV.
If I could snap my fingers and make music streaming services go away, I would.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy being able to discover stuff, I think music was better when there was the added value of you either were going to borrow it from your friend to listen to it, or a coworker, or just buy the fucking thing and listen to it.
Right. Or watch MTV for half the day and you might see some new things, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, so-and-so's got a new album out. That's their new single. Okay, great. Or, I never heard of this man before. What are they doing?
Exactly.
You know, what the radio was in the 60s and 70s, you know.
But, yeah. So, and I guess I've slowly kind of, especially like building up my CD collection, things like that, mm-hmm. slowly kind of started working my way back into, you know, I'm sure I will never get rid of streaming services. But
I don't know. I go back and forth on Spotify because I'm not using it that much. The only thing I'm really using it for is to search new things. Like, oh, Because I follow a progressive rock thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they'll post occasionally new, sometimes it's just an album cover. I'm like, never seen that one before. So I go to Spotify and look it up.
Yeah.
That's really all I'm using it for. It's basically more of a resource than anything. And I'm paying almost, what, $15 a month for that. But I'm afraid
for Spotify?
If I get rid of it.
Why is Spotify so damn expensive? Mm-hmm. When their service fucking sucks and their music sucks.
But if I get rid of it, then I won't be able to search. Because they don't let you click. You have to, it's random.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You could always just YouTube it.
I could. And I have actually done YouTubing recently because even like, as random as some of my searches are on Spotify, like you said, it's weirdly, the suggestions are weirdly not that great.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, out of 10 recommendations, there might be two that I'm like, oh, that's different. That's new. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, I've already seen that band. I've already looked up that band.
Yeah.
So you're only recommending to me what I've already looked up on your fucking site. So
I will say, so I have Spotify and Apple Music because I've got Spotify for the YouTube channel and plus I pay for the Spotify because one of my daughter's friends uses Spotify and she can't and her parents can't afford to pay for the service
so use it for her
so I let her use it
it's
kind of like my way of letting someone experience music,
which is good, especially young
people. So that's why I have decided to keep Spotify, but I primarily use Apple Music. And what I've realized, at least with Apple Music, is the more you use Apple Music, the better it actually is at figuring out what you like. Because it's
Spotify was for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's not anymore. Maybe it's because I've just searched through as much as they have to offer. But. Yeah.
Because Apple Music has an infinity button. You just hit the infinity button and you just pick a random song you want to listen to.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll just like randomly forever just figure put things, just
Spotify kind of has something similar,
but it's actually really fun. Like I'll do that sometimes. I mean, I it's rare I listen to random songs. Typically if I listen to something, I'm going to listen to an album.
Right.
But there are sometimes I'll just like pick a song and just let it pick whatever's next. And it's very rare I skip over something. So it's actually pretty good at picking.
So
something good for me
with Spotify, like say you do listen to an album at the end of the album, it doesn't stop. It'll start randomly. And there's been a few times where I've listened to Spotify because I don't have the album on CD. And so I really want to listen to the album. So I listen to the album and then the recommendations start coming through. I'm like, okay, that's good. And I've gone through probably 10 or 15 songs before I got to one where I was like, So, I mean, it's there. But again, it's still just kind of pulling from the same pool.
Yes.
And I want a bigger pool.
Yeah.
You know, that's me personally. I know most people don't care. They're okay with that random, just whatever. And, you know, it's,
people still have things that they like, but a lot of times they're okay just having it on the background.
Exactly. And I'm not that way. I can't do music in the background.
Unfortunately, I have to just because how incredibly fucking busy I am. There's never a time at any point during any day where I don't have something to do. Like ever. Like I will go literally fucking months without having a day where I'm like, I've got nothing to do. What should I do today?
I'd kill myself.
Yeah?
Yeah. The only true enjoyment I get out of life is when I have absolutely nothing to do.
Yeah.
When I can do just whatever I want.
I mean, I can do whatever I want also. And there's a lot of times I just like push off what I've got to do until tomorrow. But that just means I've got even more shit to take care of tomorrow.
Yeah,
but.
I don't want to push. I mean, I'm very good at pushing things off. I'm like,
really?
Yes.
I
can procrastinate at an Olympic level. When there's days when I literally just don't even have to think about it. Like I have nothing to do. I love it. I'll do tons of stuff. I'll accomplish things, but there's nothing screaming at me saying this has to be done now.
Yeah.
When things are like that, I hate it. My life sucks. That's not living to me. Living to me is having nothing to do, but being able to do tons of stuff. Cause you can do whatever you want because there's nothing pressing.
I always having something to do. I like being busy all the time. I'm still busy.
When I have nothing to do, I'm still busy. I'm just busy doing shit I enjoy, not shit I don't enjoy.
Well, most of the shit I do, I enjoy.
Well, then I don't think you're busy.
Oh, I am. I mean,
you're doing stuff, but you're not busy.
Editing and recording and research and all that stuff. I enjoy doing all that.
If you enjoy doing it, that's not busy.
It is, because it's what takes up a lot of my time. But anyway, back to what I was saying. A lot of times, you know, I'll put a record on or a CD or whatever and listen to it while I'm working. Most of the time when I'm listening to music, I'm working on other things.
The only time I can casually listen to music is when I'm in the car. And even then, I prefer not to. But there's times you just don't know what you want to listen to. So you just put on any random album. I will put it just on any random album and go, oh, I haven't listened to that in a long time.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of background.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, I can't focus on anything else if there's music on because I'm listening to the music.
Yeah.
So I can't do background. If I need background stuff, it's got to be like TV. I can put on MSNBC. That's background to me. And 9 times out of 10, that's actually the only time it's on is when it's background. I'm doing dishes or something. And I take that back. I guess I do like putting a record on when I'm doing dishes. But I'm still focused. Most of my focus is on the music because doing dishes doesn't require a lot of brain activity.
Yeah. Oh, no. If there's something I need to, like, if I'm doing, like, schoolwork or something like that, if I put on music, it has to be something that doesn't have lyrics in it. Like, right. I'll put on, like, I've got this, like, a playlist on, there's a playlist on Apple Music where it's, like, I don't want to call it easy listening, but it's, like, easy listening kind of versions of, like, regular songs. Like, they got, like, Eminem songs. It's, like a
elevator versions?
Yeah, kind of. And I'll put that on while I'm doing, like, schoolwork and stuff like that.
Yeah, see, I can't even do that with the instrumental stuff because... You know, you put on like I'll put jazz on.
I'll put jazz on.
You put a jazz album on. I'm still like, ooh, what was that? What was that? You know,
I can.
What was that saxophone doing? What was that drum thing going? You know, I'm just, you know, I don't know if it's just an attention thing. Like I can hyper focus on music, so my mind automatically does.
It's called ADHD.
It is. I have it. I don't know about the HD part, but the AD part I definitely have. But I. Music, my brain automatically hyper-focuses on. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's better. It's just I hyper-focus on music. Yeah. I've always had that problem. And, you know, if you're in a place where they're playing music you don't like, it sucks. Because you might as well have, like, needles in your ears. Because you just can't. I can't turn it off. So.
Well, I don't know. I didn't really have anything else to add there. But
no. I guess we need the monoculture back.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that people. I don't think a lot of people.
Diversity is great, but it's got to be diversity across the board, and you can't have just a diversity of choice feeding you one thing.
Yeah.
You have to have a diversity of all ideas and all things coming at you from similar sources. I guess I don't know.
I don't know. You can always drop us a comment or email us at entnow@gmail.com. I almost forgot our email address, but I don't know. You got anything else to add?
No.
But all right, man. You check us out on YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcatcher. That's about it, man. Until next time.
Talk to y'all later.
Peace. My role, let me tell you about it. This shit right here, man, I'm proud about it. Only real niggas reside around me. Yo, lady, drop a card around me. Dip like I know you can, bitch. Show me the ropes like we in the ring. Got you two cobras, you wanna hang. Shoulder to shoulder, the niggas basic. You know I won't lie. You know that I ain't for that fuck shit. You niggas alright, but I'm way better and she love it. Know that y'all sick as fuck. Here go this tissue, bruh. We taking the dub. Hoping you get you some. This hit like a pick me up. She taking my drugs. Know they see the sign. That's from down the side. Know they sick as fuck. Know they sick as fuck. Tell them get well soon. Tell them get well soon. Know you sick as fuck. Get well soon. Oh shit. Watch out, you the god, Billy Ocean. Right now, and I'm smiling in your face, bitch. With a gold smile, you should probably make placement. To your eye, niggas sick as fuck. Standing with niggas. Who died for that party? Who died for some bitches who showing their bodies? Swear to God, nigga, this Molly got me up and rolling. Need bodies of water. Bring that shit in bottles. We mash at the party. That hit when we styling.
Bye. Not at the party.